The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties, and a lot of those cities, believe it or not, have properties for under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first property out of state in the next 4 months, I encourage you to apply to my out-of-state coaching program. I purchased properties out of state, and it's absolutely changed my life completely. The same is possible for you too. You simply need the right information. That's all it takes. My program will provide you the hands-on support and a step-by-step process to buy that first property within 4 months. So go to outofstatemoney.com to apply today. Again, outofstatemoney.com to apply today, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
So, is there anything else that needs to be done before you can break ground, like with the city or different things that you need to do?
Yes. So, we have a pre-development part of development or section where you're going to have to get your site plans and architectural plans submitted to the zoning board or the zoning department. And I'm almost certain throughout the country, they're going to reject it at least 2 to 3 times. So just be prepared for that. Make sure, you know, you have a proper architect who does have relationships in those cities that you're going to be building in. I do recommend that. And who already knows the code, who already knows what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. So the least likelihood it will be rejected.
Yeah.
But once it goes through zoning, then it goes to the building department. And then in the building department, you submit another, well, the construction plans at that point. And then the building department is ultimately where you would get your permits to start building. So at that point, it's now a shovel-ready project, meaning you can stick the shovel in, you can start building the foundation and building the house ultimately. So you do have to get through those two parts, the zoning and the building departments. That's typically called the entitlement process. And that's actually the hardest part.
Why is that?
Mainly because if you're in a very conservative political climate or neighborhood, and you're looking to build houses or affordable housing solutions, some neighborhoods may not want that. So they might have like the politicians reject it. You might have a neighborhood or organizations, they'll go ahead and reject it. Especially when you get to the, you know, the building part. Like it can go down like that. I've seen it in Kansas City. They've told me, hey, we don't want affordable housing here. This was before affordable housing was a sexy subject for politicians.
Yeah.
So we're talking like 2020, 2019. They didn't want those type of units in their neighborhoods. Now it's mandatory, and that's what's getting the politicians elected.
Yeah.
So with that being said, there's a lot of moving parts that goes into your plans being approved.
Mm-hmm.
And if you happen to want to build the wrong thing, they can reject it.
Yeah.
So it's important. And it could take, I've seen plans take about a year to get approved.
Yeah.
To be honest, mine took a really long time to get approved.
Yeah.
For East Orange. Yeah. Newark, we didn't have any issues, but East Orange, they rejected it at least 3 to 4 times.
Yeah.
Over silly stuff. Oh, you have to cut down a tree. Reject. You have an extra closet here. Reject. We didn't have an issue with servicing the community because East Orange is not built with a bunch of community organizations, mm-hmm. but Newark is.
Yeah.
So different communities have different processes.
That makes a lot of sense. You mentioned people not wanting affordable housing in their neighborhoods. Why is that, in your opinion? You can be honest.
Yeah, with the honesty. I think it was just the climate of the president at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe it was the climate. You know, our president said it out his own mouth too, right? And he was against affordable housing at the time. And, you know, there's some things I do like about Trump, and then there were some things that I didn't like about Trump. And he kind of put that language and climate into our communities. But ultimately, lower income neighborhoods do have more crime.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in those neighborhoods. I know they do. But this is why I do what I do as a developer. I'm looking to bring affordable luxury units for people that look like me.
Yeah.
The people that come from where I come from. Because what's happening, whether we like it or not, is our neighborhoods, they're getting gentrified. We talked about this, I'm sure, before.
You're seeing one right now.
Right. I'm from everybody knows I'm from Brooklyn.
Right.
I had to move out of Brooklyn. Yeah. And I had to move to Newark as a kid because at some point it just became unaffordable for my mom. And now Brooklyn, if you're not, if you're living in Brooklyn and you don't have affordable, if you don't have a voucher program, if you don't have HUD housing, which is goes by your income, you can't survive here. You can't.
Yeah.
Okay. A 2-bedroom in Brooklyn is probably, what, $3,500? Like, I don't even know at this point. But it's not affordable. So people that look like you and I, most of the time, if they're not wealthy or they're not building wealth, they're just a working class person. They are on some type of government subsidy to help them pay their rent. And a lot of those apartments are really poor and they're really trash.
Yeah.
So it's important, like people like myself, people like you, who want to be landlords, who want to help build our communities, is important for us to own so we can all also distinguish who we want to rent to. And we have that power.
Yeah.
Because a lot of other things that goes into renting in a place like New York is they're going to discriminate for everything. They're looking at your income. If your income is not high enough, you're not qualified. Your credit is not high enough, you're not qualified. And I think most of America is doing that anyway now. Mm-hmm. But New York was the blueprint. You had to make, what, 4 times the rent to live in an apartment in Brooklyn? Yes, since COVID, I think a lot of landlords are very strict at this point. But New York has always been a challenge for, we'll say, minorities to become a renter.
Yeah.
In a place like Brooklyn. Or they'll ship them all the way to the Bronx. And I mean, I wouldn't want to live in the Bronx. Y'all don't
still
hate
love
me.
All my Listen. Bronx folks.
Y'all don't hate me for saying that. But that's where they're shipping them, like to the Bronx to live. And some people, that's just not conducive for where they work. But with that being said, it's our responsibility as investors and developers to make sure we're providing options for people that look like us. Just to recap what I probably said already.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, affordable housing doesn't necessarily mean low income housing.
Right.
Right?
Right. It doesn't necessarily mean low income. So you have workforce housing. You have, of course, the very, what is it called? Very low.
Mm-hmm.
You have low, then you have moderate.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, and there's another level too, but believe it or not, the workforce housing, those people are actually your teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your municipality workers. Those are your police officers. They don't make a lot of money. Some of your firefighters. So some of the projects that I'm looking to build or I am going to be building, we're actually going to be servicing that demographic of people, the middle class.
Yep.
The service workers.
Yep.
Not necessarily the people that make $17,000 a year. No, it's the people that's making $40,000 to about $65,000, $70,000 a year who still can't afford to rent a nice house or buy a house or rent a nice apartment in these major cities.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And it's interesting. I've had a couple of developers come on the show talking about something similar. So I had Devin George, he used to play for the Lakers on some time ago. And he was mentioning if you are low income, like there's plenty of programs for you. You'll be able to find somewhere to live. You'll get a subsidy, whatever the case is. But it's that middle class that there's usually no help for.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, in places like New York City, it's so expensive to live in New Jersey. You need that support for the middle, right? Like they need housing that they can afford as well. Exactly. And I think it's kind of misguided by those folks who don't want it in their community because it's not what you think it is. I mean, it's easy to create a narrative that is just like a certain type of individuals who are going to be in those homes like that are like workforce. Those would be workforce housing, right?
Right.
Yeah. So like it's easy to assume. But that's not really what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So that's why we have to be very specific. Like when, as a developer, when I'm writing proposals, when I'm talking, I can't even just say affordable housing. You have to be very specific. Workforce. And they're like, oh, okay.
Does that sound better?
It sounds better to them. So, you have to choose your words carefully. Mm-hmm. But it does all fall under affordable housing.
Yeah.
But you definitely want to pinpoint. No, I'm talking about workforce housing, and then you'll see the relief. Like, okay,
yeah.
Why? You know, I don't know. I mean, I know what it is, but
yeah, we know what it is.
We know what it is. We're not going to just expose it. But at the end of the day, yes, the middle class, excuse me, mm-hmm. they're suffering greatly.
Yeah.
Across the board. We're getting taxed the most, right? They're getting no subsidies for childcare. Like, they're not getting anything. And the price is still the price.
Yeah.
So, it's going to take people like you and I and other developers out there to understand what the loophole is and buy into that so we can provide more. Of course, there's grants out there mm-hmm. throughout the country. Yes, some of the grants do favor and cater to the very low mm-hmm. demographic of affordable housing. But then you do have some that are willing to give funds and free money for the middle class or the yeah. workforce demographic. So you just have to do your research, and there are funds out there.
Got it.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.